You are listening to the Zen Nova Scotia podcast with talks by Cone France. These talks are made possible in part by generous donations from our listeners. To find out how to support and take part in our community, visit zennovascotia.com.
The third time that I moved to Japan, I had by that time I had lived in different places and worked in different jobs, and I had studied Japanese fairly seriously. But I still didn't have a lot of confidence. And so I was fine, you know, in a store and dealing with people on the street, but there were a lot of things that I would avoid doing. I didn't like to talk on the phone, for example, because there were so many opportunities for that to go wrong. There were certain kinds of business transactions that I felt there was no way that I could make this work. It's beyond me. So I would rely on other people. But after I arrived this third time, I started a new job. And immediately the apartment they had put me in had some plumbing trouble. So I went to the secretary at my work and I said, would you please call a plumber? And people in Japan are so unbelievably generously helpful all the time that what happened next completely threw me, because I said, would you call a plumber for me? And she said, no. Mm-hmm. And I said, excuse me? You won't call a plumber for me? And she said, no, I won't. And I stood there kind of paralyzed. And she said, call your own plumber. You can call a plumber. No one had ever told me that I could do such a thing. So I called the plumber. And the plumber came, and the plumber fixed things, and I paid the plumber, and everything worked out. And within a couple weeks, I was doing all sorts of things that I had never done before, and I was ordering pizzas, and I went and bought a car, and then I got insurance for the car. And my world opened up in a very short period of time, because this woman who I barely knew just refused to accept my story. She thought I was full of it. She was right. This, I think, is maybe what many of us secretly hope for. And maybe particularly in the context of Zen, because there are these stories where someone is stuck and they present their stuckness often in a kind of ignorant way. And the person across from them frees them, right? They say the right thing, and poof, all the obstacles fall away. It's fantastic. That's what we want. I think that's what we want. We want to meet that person. We want to have that moment. And it's not that no one ever has that moment. But that's a very rare moment. And the reality is that we're stuck. Now, there are different ways to talk about that. And we can take a Buddhism 101 perspective and say, well, we're stuck because we're all stuck in delusion. We're all stuck in ignorance. We're all stuck in attachment. We're all stuck in craving. All of us are seeing the world through the lens of dukkha, of wanting things to be just not quite as they are, slightly improved. In that way, we're stuck. And that's useful. And it's true. But then there's another way to talk about it, in which we acknowledge that we're all stuck in our own way. I don't get to know, when all of you are facing the wall, what's going through your minds. But something is. It's not blank. And I'll bet that for many of you, what you're seeing, what arises in your mind, is not something that's arising for the first time. It's not a brand new idea. You probably didn't manage today to come up with a regret that you've never conceived of before. Maybe. But most likely, you have a few, you have some greatest hits. A few things that have been with you for a long time. Things that feel as if they've attached themselves to you. And you carry them around. And when the room goes quiet and your breathing goes quiet, they have space to come out. It could be a memory, it could be a regret, an inadequacy that you perceive in yourself. It might be a wish or a hope that carries with it a little bit of pain, either because it's too far away or because it speaks so directly to the thing that you think you lack, that even while you take some pleasure in stirring it around, there's also maybe an ache. And maybe it comes up for you when you sit, and maybe it comes up for you when you're in the car, or maybe when you're lying in bed at night. And maybe it's one thing and maybe it's 10. But in these ways too, we're all stuck. There are things that we hold on to. They're like little smooth rocks in our pockets. We can reach in and we can rub them anytime. And we can't imagine if they weren't there. Maybe we don't know who we would be without that. Or maybe because of the nature of it, we feel that we don't deserve to be rid of it. Whatever it is, it's there, and the reality is that it's unlikely that someone's going to come and snap you out of it. It should have happened by now. So what do you do? There are traditions, including in the Buddhist world, that talk about purification, or that talk about transformation, that imagine that these things are obstacles, but obstacles to be transformed. That you can move completely past them through some direct action. You can kind of work them away. Zen offers none of that. I'm sorry. The truth is that in this tradition, we talk about these kinds of obstacles in the same ways that we talk about enlightenment itself. Not as an event. The moment in which you become unstuck is not a moment. It's not a happening. It's like so many things that you wake up one day and you realize that some song that you always really liked, you just don't like it anymore. It's not that you dislike it, you just don't care. And you remember how it used to feel to you. But now when you listen to it, it's lost its allure. What happened? There was no moment when it happened. It just slipped away from you. In some period when you weren't playing it on repeat. We have an opportunity in our lives, of course, but also here, in sitting, and especially on a day like today, to be honest with ourselves about what those things are. Even in one day, we're sitting long enough to get a glimpse of something that feels as if it's attached to who we are. We can notice it. We can look at it. We don't necessarily have to turn it all around and look at every angle, but we can say, I know what you are. You're one of those. You keep coming back. And as we breathe and as we remind ourselves simply not to contract and not to let our eyes get too narrow so that the aperture of our mind doesn't shrink, as we just remind ourselves to be here and to see this room and to breathe this air, at the same time that we see how powerfully something is present in our lives, we can also see how it's okay to let it float a little while. It doesn't require us grabbing it. Our identity is not in so much danger that all of these things that we think define us might all slip away at once. But we can just put them over here. And then we can do that again. And we can do that again. And some of them, I'm sorry to say, will be with you forever. Because we're human beings. On some level, human beings, I think, are haunted. But some of them, not necessarily the ones you think. Some of them, you wake up one day and they just don't have that power anymore. You can notice that, and in noticing that, you can pause before doing what you would usually do, which is to grab it. I have this experience in Zazen, and maybe you do too. And I have it when I'm driving a lot. Some idea will float through my mind that is compelling. And compelling is a very broad word, right? It might be distasteful, or it might be seductive, or it might be just kind of clever. And it will be on its natural trajectory, which is to kind of float by and then float past. And just before it gets away, I'll think, oh, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, come back. What was that? Right. And I'll put it right here. And then as it naturally starts to kind of fall out of my view again, I'll grab it again. And again, there are certain stories I've done this with now for 15 years. Little memories where if I had only said that, or what if, and I can play them, it's fun. But I also, if I'm awake a little bit, I can notice that there's a choice. There's a moment. There's a moment at which I decide to grab it and pull it back. And that's where we play. There's nothing wrong with that thought. And there's nothing wrong with me for having that thought. What's wrong, where delusion really lives, is in me thinking that it's attached to me, that it comes installed with me. When in fact, it's like the other day I was walking and it was windy and my hat kept blowing off. So I was walking and it would blow and I'd grab my hat and I'd put it back on, and then it would fly over there and I would grab it and I would put it back on. And it took me forever to walk across a field because all I was doing was putting on my hat. Right? I refused to let my hat blow away when The most natural thing was for my hat to blow away. Whatever it is, the thing that keeps coming back, its natural trajectory is to move beyond your view. You can allow that. Not letting it go in this sense of opening your hand and kaplunk, but in the sense of just watching it pass. It's a good day for that. So I'll stop there.
For more information about Zen, our practice, and how you can support and take part in our community, please visit zennovascotia.com.